In God's word, we think, you know, I ought to do this. And when the will is engaged in God's word, we think, I have to do this. But when the heart is engaged in God's word, we think, I want to do this. I want to obey the Lord. I want to please God in my decisions. And this will help us hear God's word and heed God's word and then share God's word with others. When we get a good grasp of the Bible, it's important that we learn how to share it with other people. Show them how to be saved. Teach them how God can help them with circumstances they face, how to raise their children, how to deal with the difficulties of life with trials and tests and such. God's word is a blessing. In chapter 3, verse 4, the result of hiding God's word in the heart, so shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Daniel found favor in the eyes of the prince of the eunuchs because he had obeyed God. And we not only find favor with God, but we find favor in the eyes of man when we live the Christian life. If you think back, probably most of you can remember a time not too long after you were saved that someone helped you in some way because you were a Christian. They helped you fix your car, they helped you work on your house, or they helped you in some way, and they blessed you because they liked to hear your testimony and they liked it to see that you'd become a believer, and they wanted to do something to encourage you. Whether they knew it or not, God would probably bless them because they were blessing you. And God does that quite often. We find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Look at chapter 2 and verse 8. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Chapter 3 and verse 6. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. In chapter 5 and verse 21, my son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. Oh, that's chapter 3. Excuse me, 5, 21. For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. So God knows our ways, and he knows what's taking place in our life. And we can find favor with God and with man if we obey his word and put our trust in him. We come to verse 5 and 6. Miss Diane Westbrook quoted this for us last week. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. We trust the Lord. We don't rely upon ourself, our flesh. And our total relying is not so much upon other people. It is upon the Lord. And God will give us wisdom to see who we can rely upon and who we should not. We'll have discernment and discretion if we're honoring God in his word. We can try to rely on our flesh. We'll reason with God to get our way, to get what we want. You know what I've found? God doesn't argue back with you. You can argue with God and tell him, well, I'm going to do this. I think this is the best way to go. God's not going to say, hey, wait a minute, you know. But he has a way of doing that, doesn't he? To where you realize you make the wrong choice and you're messing with the wrong person when you take an attitude like that. What we are to do in verse 5 and 6, and what we are not to do in verse 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. And then verse 8 shows us the results of doing right. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. It will strengthen us in the inner man. Verse 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Verse 9 and 10 shows us the way to have God's blessings on our substance. You can never outgive God. When you're obedient to give back to God because you recognize he has blessed you and you're seeking to live for the Lord, then God will supply your needs if you're faithful to honor Him and put Him first in your life. When you see that everything you have is by the grace of God, then you recognize God's only asking for a portion of what you have to be given unto Him and to His work. I remember the story of a pastor riding along in a rainstorm. Seems like Georgia is the state, but I'm not sure. But they were in a VW van. There was five people, a family, in the van. That's full, you know, a VW van. And they were riding down the road, and they saw somebody broke down on the side of the road. And they pulled up, and this was a family, and they were broke down on the car, and they couldn't get them in the, it was a VW bug. I said a van. It was a VW bug. They couldn't get them in the VW. So they decided, the guy reached in his wallet. He just didn't really know what to do to help the guy. He handed him $20, said, maybe you can get some help with this. And they drove off. And as they started down the road, they started talking about it. And they decided, we can do something more. You know, let's pool our money. And so they came up with, I don't know, $50, $60, $70 or something between the whole family. They turned around and went back to the guy and they said, give me the $20 back. And the guy handed him the $20 back with sort of a odd look on his face, you know. And then they put it with the other money and handed it back to him. And they said, I know this is enough to get you some help, maybe, you know. We should have done it to start with. Well, that's kind of how it is when we give to God. God says, okay, give me a portion of that back. And when you give it back, then God multiplies it and gives it back to you again and again and again. You can never outgive God. God will always do more for you than you can ever do in giving to Him. You've heard the stories of some of these millionaires like Letourneau, who built all the big heavy equipment, these big trucks with the big wheels that move all the dirt and the big earth-moving equipment and all that, R.G. Letourneau. R.G. Letourneau became a Christian, and he owned all this business, and he started giving more and more in percentage of his income to the Lord every year, until finally, by the time he passed away, he was giving 90% of his income to God and living off 10% of his income. You say, well, I couldn't do that. I couldn't either, probably, you know. But God doesn't ask you to do that. He probably didn't ask R.G. Letourneau to do that. God blessed R.G. Letourneau to become a wealthy man, so he was delighted to do that for God's work. And he did many things, building campgrounds and things of that nature for revival meetings and all of those kind of things. He named lakes after his daughters down there in Helen, Georgia, and Lake Helen in Toccoa, Georgia area, which I believe is where he was from, and or where he had his business. And God asks us to give back to Him the portion of the tithe. And when we do that, He's promised to bless us. He said in His word that He'd open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that wouldn't be room enough to receive. Well, tomorrow we're going to get to see, maybe late tonight, we're going to get to see what opening the windows of heaven looks like. All this raindrops that's going to come down. Imagine if that was blessings from the Lord that's about to come down, you know. And God has blessed us. He's been good. And He's supplied our needs. This is kind of how it is with God taking back from us and then giving back to us. I remember when we were in Bible college that two specific occasions, God supplied our needs the whole time. I put myself through school with the Lord's help and the GI Bill that I had and working a full-time job the whole time. But I remember on two occasions that things were pretty tight. And I came home to Rock Hill area and I preached in a church and they gave me a love offering. And before we got out of town, we had to take the car to the dealership to get it worked on because we couldn't find a mechanic that we knew or, you know, could get to us and all that. We had to have it fixed right away to get out of town. And the money that we were given covered the cost of the repair. If it hadn't, we wouldn't have been able to take care of it because we just didn't have the money other than gas money to get back home. And on another occasion, I drew the GI Bill and they messed up my check. I went to summer school every year, so I was supposed to draw it all year long. And it wasn't a lot of money, but it was a portion that we lived off of. It paid our rent. And we got back to school from being here. Church had given us a love offering that I spoke in. And we got back to Missouri, and the check didn't come in the mail. And I went down to the office, to the financial office, and checked on it. And it took, I don't remember, 4 or 5 weeks to get it straightened out to get my check. And we lived off that love offering. We were able to eat and buy stuff for the kids. And, you know, while we were in Bible college, we always had a kid. You know, we had one when we went out there that was 3 or 4 years old, and we had 2 boys born while we were going through school. So there was a baby in our house all the time, you know. Little girl lived next door, came over to see Trey when he came home from the hospital. And she was amazed that he already had his eyes open. Because all she'd ever seen as a baby was puppies, you know. They don't open their eyes right away when they're born, you know. So she was amazed that he had his eyes open. Well, we saw God work out even in advance that we were going to have a need we didn't know anything about. But it wasn't a surprise to God. And he supplied a need for us. I learned the wisdom during those years that when God blesses you with something extra, don't just run out and blow it on a big meal and a big day and all that sort of thing. You better put something back because you may be about to have something happen that you don't know about but that God is preparing you for. In verse 11, we deal with God's correction. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. We find this in the book of Hebrews also, recalled there from here, and how the correction of the Lord in dealing with us to get us back on the straight and narrow path because God loves us. God is not pleased with punishing his children. He's pleased with correcting his children. And he corrects us in mild ways unless we refuse to repent and listen to the Lord. And then the Bible says it can be scourging. It can get much more severe to bring us back to the straight and narrow path. Understanding God corrects his children. Well, you think, what about the wicked? I know people that live wicked lives and they do all kind of terrible things. They don't seem to suffer anything. My friend, they are under the condemnation of God to go to hell. And if they don't get the grace of God and repent of their sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, then that's where they're headed. And God waits in long suffering with man so that more can be saved. Why it's so important that we're a witness with the gospel message. But God's children need correction now so that our testimony is effective for God in reaching others. Verse 12, God loves you, so he corrects you to stay close to him. 13 says, happy is the man that finds wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her. Happy is everyone that retaineth her. So the Lord blesses us with wisdom, and if we receive that wisdom and put it into practice in our life, it will grant us the peace we need and the direction we need and the supply we need. And to have the wisdom of God is greater than having great riches. It will help you make the right choices and the right decisions that will affect your life and your family after you. We're leading the way in this world, my friends. We're on our way to heaven, and we're leading the way to God. And people need to know there's somebody that can show them the way. And if we've got the wisdom of God, then God will bless us so that we can lead the way for our family and for others. And that's greater than riches. Let's bow our heads in prayer and ask the Lord to bless. And Miss Diane will come and play a verse of an invitational hymn. I want to mention Brother Gary did an excellent job with his father's burial on Tuesday at the Veterans Cemetery in Salisbury. They have a brick canopy area where they bring the coffin, and the speaker can be there, and there's a couple of benches and a nice area to get out of the weather a little bit, and that's there to use. And then when you're finished, then they load the coffin back in the hearse and go down to the graveside for the burial. And Gary did an excellent job with the message. Of course, I teased him. It was his dad's message. And he didn't steal it, though. His dad called him up and gave it to him, and it was a message he preached at Gary's grandmother's funeral, which would have been Brother Chuck's mom. And it had great points to it from Revelation 21 about heaven. And I don't know a better subject to be able to teach about at a grave than heaven. And we know there's peace when our loved ones are going there. Father, bless the invitation time. We pray and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Miss Diane.